be given that much risk in this world, in this life, but it will be recompensed, it will be made up by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another life, in Jannah, in paradise. That is also possible for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recompense this risk in the hereafter life as well. This is what we can generally mention about the risk and sustenance.
That's all right. And for sure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, puts some of his risk in the raw materials around the world, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, for example, the minerals, the water, the fruits and the trees and the environment over there. Of course, with the progress that the people made in terms of industry and the modern world and the techniques in order to cultivate the earth, you know, the people are trying to benefit as much as possible from the soil and the earth in order to produce, for example, food, or it's better to say, that's right, poultry, flesh, fish, you know, all the things that are needed for, as the raw materials in order to give to the people in the markets. But the case is that now, at the same time, we can find so many people who are still hungry and who are, we can say, living under famine, and they are living under starvation, it's better to say, all around the world, in Africa and in Asian continent. Nowadays, for example, in Gaza, we could see the children and the people who lack food. They are banned and restricted from having access to pure water and food and clean food. So now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and God is Razzaq, why so many people around the world die from famine and starvation, Sheikh?
Yes, first of all, we should note that, of course, the rizq or sustenance of the people, of the human beings, are promised by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his promises in that respect. But it does not mean that there is a kind of, determinism here, that people themselves have no role and their, attaining their risk and sustenance, because the deeds of us and the deeds of the people have its own impact on the risk, on the sustenance of the people. It means that it might decrease or increase the amount of risk that we might receive from the nature which is provided by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or sometimes, for example, some group of people or some people maybe in this world might be examined and tested by, let's say, starvation or by hunger. It is also something that is that could be said. And so when we say that rizq is something that is decided or promised by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean that no one would die out of, hunger in the history. No one would say that such a thing.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glory is to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
And then because the attaining or achieving this risk and sustenance depends on our deeds, on our actions, on our efforts that we make. And this is one point. And of course, since human beings are provided with free will, and they are free, sometimes they freely decide, some group of people, to prevent another group of the people from their sustenance, from their land, from their properties. You see that in the history we have had lots of, kings, Salatin, Umara. They actually violated the rights of the people. They actually conquered the lands and the areas of the different nations.
Yes.
And they killed them and they massacred them and they brutally actually committed genocide, for example, against the people. We have had these kind of people in the history. It is because of this that man are free. We have no kind of determinism in this world in regard with the mankind. Mankind are free. But of course, these oppressors in this world, they will be punished absolutely. There is no any doubt about it, about which either in this world or in the hereafter. And those oppressed one will be recompensed, will be rewarded by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in this world or in the hereafter. That is why we see that sometimes in a specific period of the history, one nation in one specific area might be very much strong, powerful, wealthy, and they would have lots of, let's say, bounties and ni'mats with them. But in another part of the world, in another region, for example, we might have poor people, poor nations. But the point is that in the whole history, we would not have always the same nations, the same people in the same kind of qualities and, let's say, conditions. For example, in the past, we had in Africa, for example, pharaohs who were very much powerful, yes, strong and wealthy and rich. At that time, for example, Europe was not, for example, rich and let's say powerful, but then it changed. At one time, for example, the Middle East and the Islamic world was the most powerful, strongest kind of civilization in the whole world. And sometimes we see that China, India, Persia, Africa, Europe, maybe South America, for example, all these different civilizations we've had in the history, sometimes some of them are powerful and strong, and some others are became powerful and strong. Because Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always provided us with the sustenance, with the, let's say, properties, with the wealth, with the ni'amat to test us, to examine us.
Yes.
That is why, of course, it is possible that sometimes, for example, when you are strong in Africa, pharaohs might oppress the other, yes, nations, and the other nations might some of them might die out of starvation, mm-hmm, out of, let's say, what we can say, hunger. Yeah, yes. And maybe in another time, another empire, another, let's say, king might become powerful in another part of area, and then people of Africa may die out of hunger. So it is possible, but the point is that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense,
yes,
for the poor people and also punish the oppressors as well.
That's all right. And truly, as we said, as we have, Allah is Razzaq, and the true rizq of the people is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we have it in our supplications, that do your supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rizq, you know, true rizq and halal rizq, Shaykh, because halal rizq has a kind of barakah in your life. It has blessings and it brings blessings in our life. It will remain more in our life. The effects of the halal income will remain more in your life. And through halal rizq and giving it to your children and nurturing your children, you can bless your life and make your life mubarak with halal rizq. But at the same time, we find so many rich people who have haram income and haram rizq. But we can't say, as you said, they will finally die in hunger or thirst. That's all right. And all in all, we must take care of the people and the hungry around. You know, not all the administrations and the statesmen around the world take care of the hungry. This is the duty of some of the NGOs, organizations, Islamic societies and the communities all around the world to help the people and to help the needy. And this has been the good behavior and the manners of the Muslims to help the needy. Nowadays, the people of Gaza in Palestine needs the help. They need pure water and food. And the Muslim lands must feel accountable and responsible to help the poor people of Palestine, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The International Quds Day this year comes following Israel's airstrike on the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus that killed 7 Iranian military officers. This latest Israeli attack, together with over 6 months of regime's genocide in Gaza, prompted thousands of Iranians to pour into the streets across the country to mark Quds Day.
Recently, there was an incident in which we were all heartbroken and devastated, as 2 of the top Iranian generals were killed and our country's embassy was air targeted. This act was against international and human rights law. As an Iranian and a Jew, we condemn this issue.
Quds Day is commemorated all over the world on the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a day of international solidarity with the Palestinian people. Just like previous years, the Iranian Jew community also joined other protesters to express their support for Palestinians in Gaza. This community believes that the United Nations and the Western countries have been totally inactive over the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip.
We are not anti-Semites, but we are anti-crime, we are anti-killing, and in one word, we are anti-Zionist. And we live in peace with each other in Iran, with Jews, but we don't have any problem with Jews. We have problem with genocide, with killing, with Zionists.
We send a message to all young and free people around the world that humanity is in danger today. Hear our voice, our belief and our goal, down with Israel.
This year, the International Quds Day comes amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Israel has cut off fuel, electricity, food and water to Palestinians living in the besieged territory.
Iranians once again resonated voices of solidarity with Palestinians on International Quds Day and also strongly condemned the recent criminal acts of the Israeli regime leading to the martyrdom of 2 senior Iranian military personnel. When it comes to violation of human rights, nobody can stay silent. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Thousands flooded the streets across Pakistan to denounce the United States and Israel for their war crimes in Gaza.
The US is a terrorist state. Israel is a terrorist regime. They are spreading terrorism against innocent men, women, and children in Gaza through their relentless attacks. The US and Israel are using their military might to systematically oppress and kill innocent Palestinians in Gaza.
Israel!
Protesters marking Quds Day voiced their unwavering solidarity with the Palestinian people in their struggle against the Israeli occupation.
Israel is a fascist and illegitimate regime that is committing war crimes in Gaza by killing innocent men, women and children on daily basis. The end of Israel is necessary to maintain peace in the world.
Amid chants condemning Israel and the United States, speakers criticized what they called the criminal silence of the world on Israel's war crimes in Gaza.
We demand from the governments, from the Muslim governments, especially the government of Pakistan, to take practical actions. Just lip service is not enough. Just passing resolutions is not enough. Governments should take practical steps for the security of the people of Gaza.
Quds Day is an annual event observed on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan across the world to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
International Quds Day rallies in Pakistan are a manifestation of a solidarity with the Palestinians. The rallies are also a show of unity among Muslims worldwide. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Under the title Flood of the Free, thousands of Syrians and Palestinians along with regional resistance forces rallied in the Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp in Damascus to commemorate International Quds Day. A joint military parade was organized by the Palestinian resistance as a message of strength and determination.
The commemoration of International Quds Day this year comes after Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which constituted a strategic shift in the war against the Zionist enemy. It also comes amid the legendary resilience in the Gaza Strip, under the devastating onslaught and the cohesion among all resistance movements participating in this operation.
The Yarmouk camp has witnessed violent battles against terrorism. And today, from the same liberated camp, Syria, Iran, Hezbollah and Palestine vow to keep fighting until the liberation of all occupied territories from the grip of the Israeli terrorist regime and its sponsors. After the military parade, speeches were delivered by representatives of resistance movements.
Today we commemorate International Quds Day, which coincides with the ongoing Israel attacks for the past 6 months on our Palestinian people in Gaza, resulting in a significant number of martyrs and wounded, mostly women and children. The resistance continues and will prevail, and we confirm our absolute support for the resistance both logistically and politically.
Representatives of the resistance praised the profound strategic vision of the founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, who declared the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as Quds Day. They say this vision was the cornerstone of the resistance front alliance with Palestine as its compass.
This is not from today. Since 1979, Imam Khomeini set this day for us to gather every year to the support of Palestine, liberation of Palestine from river to the sea, and also for the support for all the oppressed people all over the world.
Quds Day has proven to be more than just a celebratory occasion. It is a day that unifies people and brings them together around the Palestinian cause.
The crowds that gathered in solidarity with Gaza to commemorate this day have proven the wisdom of the Islamic Revolution in Iran by establishing an international day for Al-Quds as a constant reminder for the Palestinian cause. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Thousands of protesters have flocked to central London on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan to honour the call of International Quds Day. The annual event was established by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in 1979 to express solidarity with the Palestinians and inculcate a Muslim-led opposition to Zionism.
With the ongoing genocide in Gaza unfolding before the world's eyes, this year's protest has taken on extra significance and emotion. It's because people are standing up to a Zionist supremacist entity which has thus far murdered over 33,000 people while still not being able to destroy the capabilities of the resistance. Due to its popularity, many attempts have been made by pro-Israel groups to ban the Al-Quds rally, and this year these lobbying efforts fall within the wider context of Zionists and their agents at the top of government trying to get all Palestine marches banned since last October, efforts that have thus far been resisted by police and other elements within the establishment. Those on the march steadfastly reject any attempts to ban it.
It's very contradictory in a country that promotes freedom of speech around the world, human rights and democracy around the world. They want to stop people from protesting, not only these issues, but many other issues. And it's our duty as citizens of this country and the West to continue supporting through democratic means and protest the cause of Palestine.
When you look at the counter-demonstrators, they're a hopscotch of people, Zionists, far-right, British nationalists and so on and so forth, extreme right, nasty elements of British society. They're all on that side. So if you want to ban anyone, ban that lot. We're very representative of British society, especially London society. We're white, black, green, brown, every religion, every colour you can imagine, we're all here.
I'm here to show solidarity with the people in Gaza especially who are suffering genocide, and also show solidarity with our brothers and sisters of all faiths and none who are calling upon our government to uphold international law.
The people of Gaza have won the admiration of the world with their steadfastness against this unprecedented genocide, but as they stand on the brink of a deliberate famine engineered by the Zionist entity, it has scarcely been as important for the voice of the world at rallies like Al-Quds Day to shout loudly for justice and liberation for Palestine. Issa Kadhimi, London.
Down with America, down with Israel. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. These were some of the slogans that reverberated across Indian-administered Kashmir to commemorate the International Quds Day. Thousands of people, including women and children, poured onto the streets across the region after Friday prayer in a show of solidarity with Palestinians. Holding banners and placards, the protesters condemned Israel's war crimes committed against Palestinians in Gaza Strip.
6 months of war has seen unprecedented destruction in Gaza, where houses have been knocked down and hospitals bombed. Thousands of children have been killed, relief workers attacked. The onslaught on Palestinians has shaken the conscience of humanity. This wanton killing and destruction must stop.
People cutting across religious divide have come out today to condemn Israel's genocide in Gaza. Innocent children are being killed every day. It's high time Muslim world and those who believe in humanity unite against Israel's atrocities.
The protesters denounced what they called the criminal silence of the international community over the mass killings of Palestinians. They also condemned Israeli deadly airstrikes on Iranian embassy's consular building in Syria. Since Israeli regime began its onslaught on October 7, more than 33,000 people have been killed.
I want to call on international community to play their critical role in getting Palestinians their inalienable right to life. Also, I call on the religious class of the world, including Pope Francis, that humanitarian ceasefire should be implemented in the occupied territory of Gaza, and Palestinians should be given unrestricted access to the life-saving aid. And I call on Palestinian people that not only the day of Quds, we are with you every day, and call on that we will stand with you by thick and by thin.
The protesters also urged the Indian government to intervene and help restore peace in Gaza. Ever since the founder of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, declared the last Friday of Ramadan as International Quds Day, every year millions of people across the world take to the streets on this day to remind people of the Palestinian cause.
As part of International Quds Day, people here in Kashmir have held rallies to express solidarity with the people of Palestine amid the genocidal onslaught in Gaza. The protesters called on the international community to break its silence and unite against Israel. Said Ali Safir, Indian administered Kashmir.
Tempers are running high in Pakistan over Israel's onslaught in Gaza. In a dramatic incident, a KFC restaurant in Pakistan-administered Kashmir was set ablaze during an anti-US-Israel protest. Following the incident, police detained over 50 individuals who were accused of attacking the restaurant in the Mirpur district.
We do not support the burning of KFC, but we want to boycott it as it is in support of genocide. We stand with boycott and we do boycott. We do not want them, we just want them not to fund Israel and help them in their genocide.
The arson comes as U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza shows no signs of abating. The regime's attacks on all areas of the besieged territory, including hospitals, schools and aid convoys, continue.
We are already seeing the impact on the economy, on the financial decline of McDonald's and boycott. It's huge. Even in some countries, in Arab countries, those outlets are being closed because nobody is buying it.
Free! Free!
The ongoing genocide in Gaza has fueled anger and frustration among people worldwide, prompting calls for boycotts against entities believed to support Israel financially or politically.
Boycott is something that we are, this is what we feel from our heart, from inside, that we don't want to support their economy. We don't want to support the companies that are supporting the Israeli soldiers. So, for that, we need to boycott. I know this is not a permanent solution, but we have to boycott.
Authorities are now faced with the challenge of managing the fallout from the incident and preventing further escalation of tensions.
As tempers run high in Pakistan due to the call for boycotting pro-US and pro-Israeli brands, the targeted destruction of a KFC restaurant represents a symbolic reaction of the people, both locally and globally, against US-Israeli genocide in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Israeli newspaper Maariv published an article saying Turkey is seeking to enhance relations with Israel. Turkish Agency for Combating Disinformation denied the claims in a statement. The agency said the claim in the Israeli media that senior Turkish officials sent a message saying we want to improve relations with Israel is not true. Turkey said its temporary charged affair of Turkish embassy to Tel Aviv was summoned on the 25th of March, and that claims by Israeli media that Ankara proposed that the two countries' ambassadors return mutually is not correct. The thing that forced Ömer Çelik, AK Party spokesperson, to point out Israeli crimes in a statement to assure that his government stands against what Israel is doing.
The dead human bodies and corpses found around the Shifa Hospital in Gaza once again clearly show the genocide committed by Israel. It is necessary to implement the ceasefire decision in the Gaza Strip.
This subject has been considered sensitive for Turkey, especially after the ruling party lost the local election. Many analysts suggested one of the reasons was the AKP government not fully cutting ties with Israel. Many voters left notes on electoral papers such as, "You sold Gaza, we will sell you as well." And "We will not vote for a government that does not cut a trade with Israel."
"I am studying in the UK, but I came back here to cast my vote because I strongly oppose trading with Israel and want it to stop. I actively participate in rallies in the UK and personally boycott companies and products that support Israel. I believe that every penny spent on these entities translates into bullets that target Palestinians. And I am committed to taking action to support their cause.
Overall, trading with other countries is generally acceptable. However, considering the recent aggression on Gaza, Israel has demonstrated a disregard for international laws. Therefore, I believe that trade should be temporarily halted and all ports closed to convey to Israel the gravity of its actions. Israel's persistent aggression, disregard for United Nations resolutions and human rights, and obstructions of aid delivery necessitate a strong response. Turkey provides essential materials to Israel, such as copper, cement, iron, and food. Therefore, if Turkey were to halt trade, Israel might retaliate in kind.
Turkish citizens have been taking to the streets since the beginning of the aggression on Gaza, demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. They have also called on the government to sever all ties with Israel. Analysts say the public want to send messages to the president through rallies and social media campaigns. However, it seems Erdogan is turning a deaf ear to their calls for action. Erdogan, who tried to contain his people with the pro-Palestinian rallies and slogans, now finds himself not only criticized for double standards, but also grappled with losses in local elections. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
The Islamic resistance in Iraq has been standing in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza
by carrying out retaliatory operations in the region. Resistance forces in Iraq have started their operations by striking a number of U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in response to Washington's support for Israel. The operations have now entered a new phase as Israeli positions have been directly targeted in various locations such as Haifa, Eilat, and elsewhere.
We have always been firm in our stance to support the people of Palestine. The Palestinian cause is central to the axis of resistance that has supported the people of Gaza by striking Israeli positions. The regime's positions, whether it's ports in the Mediterranean or elsewhere, are targeted using ballistic missiles, drones, and all other weapons by our brothers in Yemen, Lebanon, and here in Iraq. The operations are clear evidence that the axis of resistance works in harmony and has the strategic potential and the means to pressure Israel and those states that support the systematic killing of innocent civilians.
The intensification of the attacks on Israeli positions shows that the massacres being committed by the regime in Gaza will not remain unanswered. The second phase of the operations, which directly targeted Israeli positions, proves that regional resistance groups are able to inflict serious damage to Israel's maritime and airspace interests.
Resistance groups in Iraq and across the region have proved their ability to respond to the Israeli crimes against innocent civilians. They vow that their operations will intensify even more as long as the genocidal war on Gaza continues. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
Under the title, Flood of the Free, and as part of the activities scheduled to commemorate Al-Quds International Day, the Permanent Committee of Al-Quds International Day organized a political forum this Tuesday at Al-Assad Library in Damascus. The Iranian ambassador said that defending Palestinians is the duty of the free world.
We will continue to defend Palestine because it is a fundamental principle, not a time-bound interest. All free people in the world must support the Palestinian people, as today we witnessed the Zionist entity committing various crimes, from killing innocent people to the recent attack on the embassy building. The response of Islamic Republic of Iran will be proportional to the Zionist assassination crime.
During the ceremony, Syrian and Palestinian researchers and specialists focused on the need to preserve the achievements made in Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. They condemned the Israeli criminal aggression against the Iranian embassy.
We offer our condolences to the Islamic Republic of Iran on the martyrdom of Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi and his comrades who were martyred in the Zionist attack on the Iranian embassy building in Damascus. We affirm Syria's solidarity with Iran, which is facing these attacks due to the hysteria of the defeated entity in its war against the Palestinian people in Gaza.
The researchers considered that Al-Quds International Day should be an opportunity to increase public pressure on the international community to force the Israeli regime to stop its war on Gaza.
The Zionist enemy is trying to send a message that resistance comes at a high cost through the destruction of Gaza, killing and genocide, unaware that our peoples cannot be intimidated. Al-Aqsa flood operation overthrew and buried all the sectarian projects sown by Western colonialism and the Zionist entity.
What makes Al-Quds International Day this year special is the steadfastness of the resistance and the people of Gaza, who thwarted the goals of the Israeli enemy.
The symposium concluded that Al-Quds International Day has consolidated the concept of resistance, while Al-Aqsa Flood operation proved that with strong faith, the oppressed Palestinian people can achieve victory over the Zionist occupation. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding.
IB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In the United States, just hours after a New York judge expanded a gag order to stop Donald Trump from making nasty attacks against his daughter, the former president posted a clip on Truth Social in which Fox News commentator Brian Kilmeade slammed the judge's daughter. We take a look at the US media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The American newspaper The Daily Beast has covered this story and tells us more. The former President Donald Trump is getting more creative with getting around an expanded gag order against him. Just hours after a New York judge expanded a gag order to stop Donald Trump from making nasty attacks against his daughter, the former president posted a clip on Truth Social platform on Tuesday, 2nd of April, in which the Fox News commentator Brian Kilmeade slammed the judge's daughter. Lauren Merchan, who runs a political consulting firm that has worked with Democrats, has become the focal point of Donald Trump's attacks against her dad, Judge Juan Merchan, as part of a long-shot attempt to have him ousted as the judge presiding over his hush money criminal case in New York. Tuesday, 2nd of April's clip features attorney Jonathan Turley speaking with Brian Kilmeade and other presenters on Fox and Friends. The two criticized Judge Merchan's ruling on Monday night that expanded Donald Trump's gag order, which have previously barred him only from attacking court staff, prosecutors and witnesses. Now Donald Trump is also forbidden from publicly attacking the families of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg and the judge himself, Juan Merchan. Brian Kilmeade took exception to that gag order expansion, calling it outrageous, despite Trump having spent more than a week going on unhinged rants and including disproven rumors about Lauren Merchan, who is not involved in the trial. Also, the fact is the judge's daughter is an activist who works for Kamala Harris, and there was some dispute on whether she did have a picture up on a website with Donald Trump behind bars, Brian Kilmeade said. That to me is something that if I'm Donald Trump, I'm concerned about that. The judge has a daughter who feels this way. Brian Kilmeade's reference to the judge's daughter, Lauren Merchan, posting a photo of Donald Trump behind bars was said to be untrue by her representatives last week. Instead, they said the post in question, that's become a conspiracy in right-wing circles, came from an ex-account that she had not used in many years and no longer had access to. Turley agreed that the gag order has become too expensive, adding that he's against gag orders in nearly all cases. However, he said he thinks that Donald Trump needs to cool it with the personal attacks on the judge's daughter. I would prefer that Trump leave these attacks or issues raised with the judge's family to his counsel, he said. I think that's always the better approach. The national broadcaster ABC News has also covered this story and tells us more. The judge in Donald Trump's criminal hush money case has expanded his limited gag order on the former president to cover the family members of the judge and the district attorney following a request by prosecutors. The limited gag order now covers the family members of District Attorney Alvin Bragg and the judge himself, Juan Merchan, after Donald Trump targeted Merchan's daughter repeatedly on social media over her work with a group involved in Democratic politics. Last week, Judge Juan Merchan issued a limited gag order prohibiting Trump from making comments about potential witnesses in the case, as well as jurors, lawyers, court staff, and their families. The gag order permitted Trump to continue making public comments about both Judge Juan Merchan and the district attorney Alvin Bragg. On Monday, 1st of April, prosecutors asked Judge Juan Merchan to clarify whether the limited gag order he issued last week applies to the judge's family and to relatives of the district attorney Alvin Bragg. In his ruling late on Monday, 1st of April, Judge Juan Merchan wrote, "The defendant has a constitutional right to speak to the American voters freely and to defend himself publicly." However, the judge pointed to the singular power that Trump's words have on countless others and the grave concern prosecutors said witnesses have expressed about participating in the trial, which is set to begin on 15th of April. The threats to the integrity of the judicial proceedings are no longer limited to the swaying of minds, but on the willingness of individuals, both private and public, to perform their lawful duty before this court, Judge Juan Merchan said. It is no longer just a mere possibility or a reasonable likelihood that there exists a threat to the integrity of the judicial proceedings. That threat is very real. In a statement issued in response to the ruling, Trump's campaign spokesperson Stephen Chung said, "Judge Juan Merchan's unconstitutional gag order prevents President Trump, the leading candidate for President of the United States, from engaging in core political speech, which is entitled to the highest level of protection under the First Amendment." Judge Merchan's ruling followed a letter to the court on Friday in which the district attorney's office said Trump's attacks on the judge's daughter are making other witnesses gravely concerned about their safety. "Defendant's dangerous, violent, and reprehensible rhetoric fundamentally threatens the integrity of these legal proceedings and is intended to intimidate witnesses and trial participants alike, including this court," the prosecutors wrote in the new court filing.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means to appoint.
Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed.
His decree, though.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Foresight, and I'm your host, Mehdi. Please stay with us. يا إله كل شيء ومليك يا رب كل شيء وصانع يا خالق كل شيء وورث. Today's tip: why don't we stay cheerful in the holy month of Ramadan, and perhaps this will increase our ubudiyya. Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Foresight, and I'm your host, Mehdi. So, dear friends, we are talking about the holy month of Ramadan, we are talking about being cheerful, and we are talking about how it will increase our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. You know, sometimes we kind of have a tendency to think that ubudiyah, worship, and the servitude and the obedience to the Almighty Allah is just something that is, you know, limited to five daily prayers or fasting in the holy month of Ramadan or, for example, going to Hajj, if all of the requirements are there, and we think that this is ubudiyah. Or, for example, to have a rosary beads, a tasbih in our hands, and to constantly being, you know, moving that tasbih around, this is ubudiyah. Being in a corner of the house, you know, not interacting with anybody, and just kind of being in prostration and in genuflection and ruku and sujood, that this is ubudiyah. Now, of course, through the many different episodes, by the grace and blessings of Allah, we have talked about these things, that no, this is not necessarily what ubudiyah is. Yes, some of these things, like the five daily prayers and the fasting in the holy month of Ramadan and going to Hajj, these are things which are most definitely and certainly and surely manifestations of ubudiyah and the worship and the servitude and the obedience to Allah. Certain things, though, are not even that. They're not manifestations of true, pure Muhammadan Islamic ubudiyah, if you will. So staying in a corner of the house, not interacting with anybody for, you know, months on end, and just have a rosary bead and don't speak to anybody. No, this is not ubudiyah. This is what is known as monasticism, and this idea of going into a monastery and secluding oneself, this is not something that is condoned by Islam. In Islam, you know, we are supposed to interact with people, we are supposed to be in society, and we continue after the break.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya
Mannan, IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina.
Have you been feeling sad,
little blue, little down in the dumps?
Well, good, you should be. In the time of ghibat of the 12th Imam, the believers will be tearful.
In fact, Imam al-Ridha has said,
the most pious of believing men and women are those who are sorrowful for the time of flowing water.
Imam al-Mahdi.
He is the one who will fill the world with goodness. He is the one who will quench that thirst, that sorrow in the hearts of those who believe. If you're feeling depressed and sad and dejected, don't worry. In a world this bad, you'd have to be sick in the head not to be sad. You're not abnormal. In fact, you may well be one of the Shia of Imam al-Zaman and the best of people. In the Holy Quran it says, say, have you considered, if your water should go down, who is it then that will bring you flowing water? According to Imam al-Sadiq, the flowing water in this verse means al-Mahdi. You're not sad, you're thirsty for the time of flowing waters. But remember, one is never to confuse that internal true sadness with external sadness. In Aqayid, we learn that the thing which breeds depression for a human is distancing oneself from one's purpose. And what's our purpose? What is your entire purpose in life? The Holy Quran says, and I have not created the jinn and the men except that they should serve me.
That's it.
But to serve Allah does not only mean to pray to Allah and supplicate to Him. That's a part of it, albeit a very important part. Serving Allah means to be generous with your soul, to be good and kind to the creations of Allah, to have taqwa, God consciousness, to love and to be loved, to struggle in the way of Allah. These are the things that make a human truly happy and tranquil from within, because your purpose in life is being fulfilled. Cheerfulness is very important in the religion of Islam. The Holy Prophet said, cheerfulness is one of the signs of the believer. He also said, meet your brother with a cheerful face. But you say to somebody, assalamu alaikum, brother. And he says, I say, brother, you're being stingy.
Stingy.
Because you're not giving your brothers and sisters what they deserve. Imam Ali says, your cheerfulness shows the generosity of your soul. You might be giving that charity from your wallet, and you might even be feeding people from your own dinner table. But if you ain't being cheerful, then you're being stingy with your soul.
Allah wants your soul to come alive. But people think that being cheerful means doing things like singing and dancing and haram stuff.
I wanna party.
That's haram. This is haram.
Everything's haram. What's there left to do?
I say, brother, you're being stingy.
Stingy?
Stingy. Loosen up a little. The divine laws and the deen have not come down to restrict you. They've come to set you free. Imagine a plane. In fact, don't imagine a plane. Here's a plane. For it to fly, it needs a runway, which is without bumps, with straight borders to guide it so that it can truly soar in the skies. Imagine the pilot sitting inside said,
"Why is the road so straight? It's restricting me."
Such a person who thinks that cheerfulness and merrymaking is singing, dancing, and drinking is gonna end up one depressed person. You wanna be free? Imam Ali said, "Cheerfulness is the trait of the free. The cheerfulness of the believer is on his face. His strength is in his religion, and his sorrow lies in his heart." You gotta bury that sorrow deep inside and let people feel the love. So be generous with your soul. Be merry, be giving, have trust in Allah, and remember Him often to guard yourself against depression. And remember, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest.
We search through the skies, waiting for our old friend. With loved ones nearby and our spirits high, a blessed time we'll spend. In both love and in fear, to Allah we draw near, hands raised to the sky. Oh Allah, please forgive us and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here, Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show we care. 'Cause Ramadan is here.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about being cheerful, and we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan, and we're talking about Ubudiyah. We're really running out of time on the program so incredibly quickly. It's really amazing. So the holy month of Ramadan, in the previous segment we talked about, you know, Ubudiyah and what it is and what it isn't. And well, we'll kind of continue and hopefully be able to get some sort of a conclusion before time runs out, inshallah. So we're talking about Ubudiyah and you know, how namaz and fasting and praying, these are one manifestation. We talked about how sitting in a corner and monasticism is not a appropriate form of Ubudiyah. And so kind of we wanted to now continue, and you know, the worship and the servitude and the obedience to Allah, this Ubudiyah to Allah Almighty, you know, we have a tendency to think it is certain things and it is not certain things. What we want to talk about now really quickly is cheerfulness, right? One of the things that we would never consider to be a part of Ubudiyah is to be cheerful, right? When in reality this is a part of Ubudiyah. So Ubudiyah, when we're talking about worship and servitude and obedience to Allah, anything that Allah has commanded us to do and anything that Allah has commanded us to not do falls under the circle of Ubudiyah. One. Two, Allah has commanded us to be cheerful, to be happy, to be smiling when it comes to our interactions with people in society. The infallible Imams alayhim as-salam have spoken about this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi has spoken about this. This idea of being cheerful, being happy, having a smile on our face. This is incredibly important. So three, We want to make this connection with the holy month of Ramadan. In this holy month of Ramadan, when we are facing spiritual pressures, we're fasting, it's difficult, it has hardship involved, it puts pressure on us, it creates a certain amount of stress. Of course, with the help of Allah, all of these things can be removed and solved. But in this kind of a situation, being cheerful, having a smile on your face, having a good demeanor, is not only very positive for you as an individual, but it is also very positive for all of the people around you. And finally, this is what ubudiyya is for the sake of Allah, for the satisfaction of Allah, for the worship and the servitude and the obedience to Allah. We are putting a smile on our face. We are being cheerful, despite that in itself being a little bit difficult, but after a while it becomes natural. This is being done for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, and this is ubudiyya. And of course, this is what we wanted to talk about: cheerfulness, the holy month of Ramadan, and our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. رمضان هل هلاله فاستبشروا بطلوعه وبصومه وصلاته وبذكره وخشوعه فاضت علينا رحمة بالخير من ينبوعه قد عاد يشرق بالهدى مرحبا برجوعه رمضان أقبل بالمسرة بعد طول مغيبه رمضان أقبل والأحبة بشروا بقدومه قريب الفؤاد بذكره شوقا إلى نفحاته شهر بلا عد تضاعفت الأجور لأجل
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iranians in the southern city of Isfahan hold a funeral for a senior IRGC.